Hey, hey, what's up, everybody? All right, good, good. I'm so good to see you guys are so excited to be here this morning. It's just electric in the air. I know the how many of you guys dislike rain, precipitation? Man, it just makes me angry. It messes with my psyche. I'm thinking, if it's going to rain this much, let's at least move to the Pacific Northwest where we get to see something pretty, you know, if we've got to suffer through all of the rain. So, I don't know. That's our life. And then I have this little throat thing going on. I sound like I'm a smoker. I don't smoke much, but it sounds like I do, but I don't, I promise. So it is what it is, right? So I will chug water and we will get through this. Today we're continuing our series called FAQs. And FAQs, as you may know, are frequently asked questions. So anytime you have a question about an organization or a product, like this is, I actually did this weekend. Somebody told me about an organization, so I was like, oh, I'm curious. So I went to their website and I looked at their FAQs, and it kind of outlines, you know, who they are, what they believe, what they do, you know, all of the questions that you may typically have about the organization. So that's what we're going to do in this series, is we're going to answer some questions that people have about the church. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to start that today, because last week we kind of pulled the Jesus on you. We answered a question with a question. Like, people always have questions. Well, before I answer your question, you're going to answer my question, right? And the question was, if you remember, if you weren't here, the question was simply, what do you think about God? Because that is the most important thing about you. And it's from a quote from A.W. Tozer, and the quote is essentially that, what a person thinks about God is the most important thing about that person. So the question is, what do you think about God? Because, man, that determines everything about you. It determines the way that you think. Because if you think about God in kind of, you know, in lofty terms, like God is way out there and doesn't really care about me, then you're not really going to think about him. But if you think of God as near and he's with you and he's for you, then it changes the way you think about God. And if you think about God like that, it changes the way that you act, because as you think, so you are. And it changes the way that you treat people, because if you think God has created everything that is created and they are created in his image, then you care about them a little bit more, and you're a little kinder to them, even sometimes when they don't deserve it, right? Bunch of, man, I've played basketball with some of you people. I know how it is. I've seen you play sports. I understand. I've seen some of you drive, and the anger with which you do it, right? And so, at any rate, what we think about God is incredibly important, because it determines so many other aspects of our life. So what we're going to do this week is we're actually, like I said, going to start answering some questions about the church. And probably the first question, if you're a guest, you pick the perfect day to come in. If you're trying to figure out what the heck we are and who we are and all of that stuff, great day to come and do that. Here's the other cool thing about it. How many of you guys have been with us since the very beginning? Just a handful, right? How many of you guys have been here for 2 or 3 years-ish? How many of you guys have been here less than a year? Yeah, so there's a lot of people that have probably, a lot of times we have questions, but we don't really ask questions. We just kind of just keep on going for whatever reason. And so what we're going to do is we're going to answer some of these questions. The first one is, what's the story of the church? Like, I guess I like to know kind of where people come from and what's the motivation behind the things they do and just kind of what's their story, man? Like, what's your story? Like, do you do this with people, right? We want to know where people come from, who they are, and kind of how they grew up, where they grew up, you know, what kind of crazy parents they had, because we had crazy parents too, right? And you see that they're a product of their environment, and you're like, whew, crazy. And so the story of Motion is relatively simple. We started the church legally in February of 2011, legally, because you have to go through the IRS, which is so fun. It is just the most pleasurable experience of my life. So we did that legally. That was a joke. Apparently, you guys don't pay taxes yet. So February of 2011, we started the church legally. June 26th of the same year, 2011, we had our very first experience at Motion. We started once a month, like one time a month, just to kind of get the word out, let people know what we were doing, figure out what the heck we were doing. So, you know, we didn't go every single week and have a debacle. We wanted to go once a month and give ourselves a few weeks in between to kind of, you know, right the ship and right the wrongs. And so we did that once a month starting in June. And then September 25th of that year, we started going every single week. We were an official church at that point. So that's why we celebrate our birthday party in September, because that's when it officially, I guess, began. So and If you guys were here for the birthday party last year, anybody here for the birthday party last year? Yeah, I have too soon. Bad experiences for me. I made a confetti cannon that backfired, blew up, broke my arm. Life is good. So that's when it all started, legally and officially, but it really started in our hearts several years before that. Just like anything that you do, it's always in your heart before it's ever a reality. It's always in your head. It's a vision. It's a dream. It's something inside of you before it's ever something that's actually tangible and real, right? And I think it's so important. Like when we sing that song, "You Make Me Brave," you don't ever accomplish anything great in life without courage and without being brave and taking some chances and having some faith. Like that's what Christianity is and it's all about. And it's like it would be foolish for me to think that I could be a pastor of a church, but I feel like it's what God has called me to do. And so you step out and you do things and you have some courage, you have some bravery. And so just tying in the songs that we sing to the life that we live, I don't know. So it was in our hearts several years before we actually started it. Shelly and I were in youth ministry before we started Motion. It's funny because they asked us to fill in on a temporary basis to be the youth pastors, like just interim basis until we can find somebody that actually knows what they're doing. And they kind of told us that in no, not exactly those terms, but essentially. And so we filled in for 9 years. I guess we ended up figuring out what we were doing, right? So we filled in for a really long time. At one point in the process, we were like, "You guys aren't even looking anymore, are you?" And they're like, "Nah, you guys got this." So we loved it, man. We absolutely loved youth ministry. A lot of you guys, a lot of the leaders of the church were with us when we were youth pastors, and they helped us run an incredible youth ministry, and we loved it, man. Teenagers are so fun. Like, a lot of you don't like teenagers. I love teenagers because this is why. Adults lie to you. Teenagers tell you like it is. Like, they tell you what they're struggling with. They tell you how messed up they are. They tell you the problems that they got. They tell you about all the drama that's going on. And adults, they just put it on Facebook, but then they act like it's not. Come on, somebody, right? So we loved it. We absolutely loved it. But for the last, 4 or 5 years of doing that, we really kind of, as incredible as it was, we noticed this really disturbing trend that so many people, after they got out of high school, they just disconnected from the church. Like, it was like there was no place for them to go that they felt connected with and they felt like they belonged. And so it's funny how we do this. I had this kind of, stock response to the problem, and it was, somebody needs to do something about that. Have you ever seen a problem and you're like, man, somebody needs to fix that? Could it be that when you see the problem, that you're the one that's called to fix it? Because I did that. I was like, man, somebody needs to do something about that. Somebody needs to do something about it. And finally, I realized that maybe, just maybe, I was the one that needed to do something about it, right? Because if it's my misery, then it's possible that it's my ministry. Ooh, okay. I'm going to, easy. So that's, this is just a takeaway from this, what you want. But man, if something is bothering you and you feel like something needs to change, don't be one of those people that just sit on the sidelines and gripe about it. Do something. Change it. If you don't like it, fix it, right? Don't be a critic. It's not, I love the quote. You guys have probably seen this. It's not the critic who counts. It's not the critic who counts. It's the man in the arena who's actually fighting the fight, whose face is marred with blood and sweat and dust and tears, right? It's the people that are doing something that matter, not the person that's criticizing you for the things that you're doing, and they're not doing anything. Man, you guys are getting me fired up today. So I kept saying, somebody needs to do something. And then I realized that maybe, just maybe, I was the one that needed to do something. I'm sorry, I got to get a drink. You guys just bear with me. Somebody go get some coffee, We're going to take an intermission. Just kidding. So we set out to start a church that would be a little more conducive to the people that were kind of disconnecting from the church. And so, we use terms. They're not 100% accurate, but you kind of get the idea. People that are unchurched, people that are de-churched, people that maybe grew up in church that kind of, for whatever reason left the church. And like, we wanted to make a place where people would feel welcomed and comfortable. In fact, kind of the mission or the goal of our atmosphere team is we want to be famous for our hospitality. Man, we want when they walk up, they're like, I don't know if I agree with everything that's going on there, but those people really liked me. They were really friendly. They really cared about me, right? Like, we want to be famous for our hospitality. We want to disarm people with kind of all of their preconceived ideas as to what church is and what Christianity is. And, you know, because, I mean, let's just be honest in church. That's good, right? Most people think that Christians are judgmental, hypocritical punks, bustas, right? I mean, they probably wouldn't say bustas, but you get the idea. Like, that's what most people think about church people. And it's just not true. Some of the most loving and caring and kind and compassionate people I've ever met have been Christians. And they don't get to see that side because it's always the squeaky wheel that gets the grease. It's the people who make the most noise and the most judgmental and the most critical are the ones that get the most attention. It's just, we've got to make sure that they get the message loud and clear, the right message, right? So we just wanted a church that was a little different from other churches. Not that there's anything wrong. Man, some of my, I've got really good friendships and relationships with some other pastors in town. There are a lot of really good churches, but we wanted one that was just a little bit different, or just a little bit different, right? Just think about it kind of in terms of a restaurant. Like, a lot of people, they don't want to go out to eat anymore because they've been there and they've done that, and you know, kind of all of the typical chain restaurants. They want something a little different. They want to go to a place that's kind of, you know, the local fare, if you will. And so that's kind of what we wanted to do, is present or give the option of people having another option when it comes to church. And if they don't like it, man, that's fine. There are 220 other churches in town. Go find one. Get involved. Be plugged in. Like, that's what we ultimately care about, is the church, not just our church. But we want to kind of be a cog in that wheel. We want to contribute to the mission and the kingdom of God at any rate. So you guys get that. You with me? So that's kind of our story, man. We just wanted to be a church where de-churched or unchurched people would feel connected with. Now, that's not at the expense of people who are church people, because I'm a church person. Like, I love the church. Man, I read books about the church. I watch podcasts about the church. I'm a church person. And I love Motion, so it's not at the exclusion of church people. It's church people need to get their butts on board and realize that once you're in, you need to start focusing outward. But that's neither here nor there. So that's the first one, is what is the story of the church? The second one is this, because this is just kind of the logical sequence here. Well, what's the mission of the church? Because every good organization has to have a mission statement, right? Right, good. Chick-fil-A's got one, so it's got to be true. The mission statement of the church, people ask, like, what's the mission of the church? And so we've kind of just, we reduced it down to a very simple statement, because simple is good for me. And the mission statement of the church is this: Motion Church exists to lead people to live and move and have their being in Jesus Christ. And Daniel kind of tries to incorporate that in the offering talk every single week, just so we can keep it kind of in our minds and in our hearts. And that's it, man. And the funny thing is, we stole this from the Bible, which, if you're going to steal something, steal it from the Bible. I'm pretty sure God will forgive that. But we stole this from the Bible. And if you kind of look at the context of where this verse comes out of, it's in Acts chapter 17, and it's verse 28. But the context of the verse is Paul is talking to some philosophers. He's talking to some really kind of, they're kind of spiritual, they're kind of religious guys. And he's talking to them, and he sees that they've got this statue with an inscription on it that says, "To an unknown God." And then it says underneath that, "We are his offspring." And so he's kind of like playing on the things that they already believe. And he's like, you recognize and you realize that there's a God, and maybe you don't know everything about him. Let me fill in the gaps for you. And that's kind of the approach that Paul took. And so in Acts 17, 28, Paul said, "In him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." So Paul was brilliant in this. He found a way to reach people that weren't being reached. He did something that was just a little bit different to reach people that were just a little bit different. And man, if that's what we're reduced to, if that's what we are, if we're a group of misfits and ruffians and the like, then so be it. Like, if we're not your typical church people, thank God, right? Because if you look at the disciples, man, they were messed up. Like, I get so encouraged when I see that Jesus didn't pick, like, perfect religious people. Like, he picked messed up people. He picked fishermen that cut people's ears off and cussed. I mean, he changed them, but that's kind of where they started, right? And I'm so encouraged about that. And if that's us, if that's who we are, if we're just a little different, then we can reach people that are a little bit different, then so be it. That's incredible. What a great place to be. So we took Acts 17:28 and we kind of adapted it to our own, you know, devices and uses. And it's so we exist as a church to lead people to live and move and have their being in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you just kind of the bullet points overview of that. The first key word there is lead. And that's huge because there are a lot of different approaches that you can take to ministry. There are a lot of different approaches that you can take to how we set the atmosphere. And a lot of people kind of have this mentality of the church that they want to be dictatorial and rule over their lives and tell them what to do and when to do it and how to do it. Like, I've even heard stories about, maybe I shouldn't go here, but I did. I'm going. I hate when I think it and then I say that I shouldn't, but since I already said that I shouldn't, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. Like churches that are just crazy. They do crazy things. They're very controlling. And man, we just never wanted to fall into that category. We wanted to lead people because I'm convinced that that's how God does it. Like, I'm just in my own experiences. God's never beat me into subjection. He's never like, you know, cracked the whip and I'm like, oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right. It's always for me. It's always just been this gentle wooing. God's like, you're better than that. You're better than that. Like, even when I was living like an idiot and living crazy and not doing what I was supposed to do and being who I was supposed to be, it was always like a gentle tug, a gentle tug, a gentle tug. And finally, you know, he gets us where we need to be. And even when you're on track, if you start to get off track, it's kind of like a gentle nudge, a gentle nudge. A conviction to me is really, it's just this feeling in your heart that you're not doing quite exactly what it is that you're supposed to be doing. And so God corrects you. He brings you back on. So we wanted to lead people. We didn't want to beat people. We didn't want to condemn people. We didn't want to scare people. Like a lot of people, you know, they come across with these stare tactics like, get right or you're going to hell. And we didn't really want to do that. I mean, we want to lead people. We want to be known for what we're for, not what we're against. Because so many people will just stand and tell you everything that's wrong with the world and all of the sins that people commit, but they don't ever tell you what they're for. Like, and Jesus spent a lot more time talking about love than he talked about all of the things that people were doing wrong. He talked about serving other people a lot more than he talked about all of the sins that people were committing, right? So we want to be known for what we're for rather than what we're against. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 is kind of where we got this from. It says, do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience? Because sometimes I think we do, right? Sometimes I think we take it for granted. We take his kindness and his tolerance and his patience for granted. And so Paul's like, do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. It leads us to life change. It leads us to give up things that we know are destructive and tearing us apart from that relationship with God that he wants us to have and that we want to have. And so God's kindness leads us. And that's kind of the MO of the church. We want to lead people, man. Like, I've never been okay with the idea of me standing up here and just beating people. Because the world is harsh enough as it is. Like, that's the last thing you need to do is come to church and get the crap kicked out of you, in my opinion, for whatever it's worth. So that's the first one, is to lead. The second bullet point would be to live. Man, we want to lead people to live. Not a superficial life. Not, you know, a life based on societal standards. Not a life based on what's trendy or cool right now. Because all of that stuff, man, if we could just stop. We all know that's garbage, right? Like, we all know that what is acceptable in society isn't really necessarily acceptable in the eyes of God, and it's not okay, and it's not good for you, and it's not healthy. And if you're keeping up with the Kardashians, you're not keeping up. Like, you're missing out. Like, you're not living real life, and we want to lead people to live a real life. Jesus talks about in John chapter 10, verse 10, how he came to give us life. And not just life, but he talked about an abundant life. Not just getting through and not having the wrong perspective and putting all of our energy on the wrong things, but having a real life with the emphasis on the right things like relationships and character and loving people, like the right things, not greed and money and materialism and possessions and what you can get and how you can manipulate and use people. That's not real life. And so we want to lead people to live a real life. A life with meaning and purpose rather than emptiness and futility. Because how many of you guys, by a show of hands, why not? Let's put everybody on the spot. Like, I've been at the point in my life where I was trying to do things my own way, and the end of that road is emptiness and futility. Have you been there? Yeah. And we don't want people to go that road. We want people to go the way of life that Jesus talked about. The next one is to lead people to move. Because here's the deal. Christianity, at the end of the day, there should be some measurable action in your life. Like, absolutely, it's about belief. Like, that's the beginning of it all. And it's about faith. And faith supersedes works. But faith also creates works. I don't know. Your beliefs dictate your behavior, the way that you believe. If you believe, let me just give you an example. If you think, like, you have a belief that somebody is very attractive, odds are your behavior will follow and you will proceed to ask them for their phone number. Am I wrong? And if you don't have enough courage and bravery to follow through, like we talked about earlier, Christianity is about movement. It's about act. And this is where motion church actually comes from, is the word move, the motion. I mean, the idea is that our lives, they shouldn't be stagnant. We should be constantly growing and increasing in the knowledge of God and increasing in our love. And so we want to lead people to action. We want to lead them to move. We believe that it begins with belief, but belief dictates behavior, right? And so some of the ways that we can do this is like, man, you should always be acting in love, loving your neighbor, right? Man, that's so hard sometimes. I got a crazy neighbor. I got two crazy neighbors. We're in between two crazy neighbors. I mean, it's good because one of them cooks for us, so that's good. And she can cook. Man, she's Italian. It's fantastic. Anyway, but loving your neighbor is not always an easy thing, but we should always strive to do just that, serving and honoring people. Man, how many of you know this is where honor, kind of where the rubber meets the road or hits the road, is honoring somebody because even when they're dishonorable. Have you ever been in a circumstance or situation like that where you have to honor somebody? And you do that. You don't honor them because they're honorable. You honor them because you're honorable. And you choose to honor somebody in spite of them at times, not because of who they are, but because of who you are and the character that you're choosing to have in that moment. So we want people to serve and honor people. Those should be tangible, measurable actions in your life. Being actively involved in community. Be in small groups, be in you know, these relationships. Because, I mean, as incredible as Sunday mornings are, I mean, you know, I mean, let's just be honest. There's not a lot of depth to the relationships, and nor was there ever intended to be. There's always intended to be more, right? So get involved in a community or the community in some form or fashion. So that's move. The last one is probably the most important, is we want to lead people to have their being in Jesus Christ. And I think when you look at the word being, like, it speaks to the core of who you are. You are solid, you are firm, you are secure in whose you are. You know who you are because you know whose you are. And I think, man, that's a message that our world needs to hear, because you have so many insecure people, like so many. And I used to think it was just like that was a girl problem. Like, girls are so freaking insecure. And then I start talking to a lot of dudes and I'm like, wow. We're pretty insecure too, just in our own way, right? And so people need to know, man, that when you have your being in Jesus Christ, it's who you are. And because you know who you are, I mean, you know whose you are, you know who you are, and you're not shaken by your circumstances, and you're not shaken by, you know, every wind that blows like so many people are. Their emotions are dictated by every circumstance and situation that they face. When you have your being in Jesus, that's not the way that it is. One of the phrases, or let me, before, I like to get, I just like talking to you guys, and I get excited sometimes, and I jump the gun. If you've been, what's cool about this is that it really applies to you at any aspect in your life, at any point in your journey. Like, man, if you're just starting out, we want to lead you to live and move and have your being in Jesus Christ. Like, we want you to learn what that is and what that means and how that applies to you. If you've been in church your entire life, we want to lead you to live and move and have your being in Jesus Christ to an even greater degree. It's very inclusive. It's for all of us, because we can always get a little bit better. How many of you know the journey never ends? And if you think it ends, you are foolish, right? Just, it doesn't go down like that. One of the phrases that we've adopted, and we adopted this early on, is, man, we want this to be a place of comfort for the afflicted and a place of affliction for the comforted. Just think about that for a minute. Like, wherever you're at in your life, man, if you're trying to figure this thing out and you need some hope and you need to understand some stuff, we want to be a place of comfort. But if you're comfortable in your relationship with God and you're not growing and there's not movement, then we want you to be afflicted into action, afflicted into doing something with you. Not that we're going to, you know, afflict you, but I think you guys understand what I'm saying, right? We want people to move and have their being in Jesus Christ. So that's our mission. That's the mission statement of the church. If you memorize it, we'll give you a sucker. And the last one is this, just, you know, kind of going down the line of the FAQs, the things that people would ask or have asked. The last one is this: what is the vision of the church? And I'll be honest with you guys, I didn't really understand the difference between mission and vision until, I don't know, about 5 weeks ago. I read books. I read books about vision. You have no idea how many podcasts I listen to and leadership teachings. And I was like, man, you guys ain't making any sense. Like, it absolutely doesn't make any sense. And so for those of you that are incredible organizational leaders and you've got a master's degree in organizational awesomeness, I apologize. It took me a long time to get up to speed. But as you know, every organization, or if you're organizationally savvy, you know that every organization has to have their mission, they have to have a vision, and then they have to have values, right? And so we'll talk about the values a little bit later. But I just kind of figured out that the vision is more specific than the mission. The mission, like we said, is inclusive. We want every person to live and move and have their being in Jesus Christ. And it's cool because it applies to you wherever you are in your life. Man, if you've been in church your entire life, we want to lead you to live and move and have your being in Jesus Christ. If you're just getting started, or if you haven't even crossed the line of faith yet, we want to lead you to live and move and have your being in Jesus Christ. You see that? It's very inclusive. But the vision is more specific. It's more why we do the things that we do, the way that we do the things that we do. Do you understand, right? I was just trying to figure out another way to throw out a do. And so I'm just kind of, like I said, I'm just kind of wrapping my mind around this as well. It's the vision is the motivating force behind every decision that we make. It's the reason, it's the why behind the what, so to speak. And so the vision of our church is very simple, and we've already alluded to this, but just, you know, for those of you that have to have it articulated, it's the vision of Motion Church is for people who don't know Jesus to come to know Jesus through our efforts as a church. Really simple. Like, kind of like going back to the beginning, we wanted to be a place where people who were unchurched or de-churched would feel very welcome coming to church. And we realize that not everybody is going to fall in love with Jesus, but we can set up some dates, right? Shelly thinks she is the matchmaker extraordinaire. She tries to set up dates all the time. To this point, I don't think any of them have worked out. But in the church, we set up dates with Jesus, and hopefully they have a higher success rate than Shelly's matchmaking ability, right? So, sorry, baby, I'm in trouble tonight. So from the beginning, man, we just wanted a place that unchurched and de-churched people would feel comfortable attending. We wanted a place where it would be disarming, because how many of you grew up in church, or you went to church for a long time? All right, how many of you were kind of nervous about inviting new people to church? Because I always had these thoughts in my head. I'm like, oh, God, don't. Man, if I bring somebody, then that one lady's going to do that one thing that she does with the jiggle. I mean, like, there were so many red flags and reasons why I wouldn't invite. And I didn't feel uncomfortable. I didn't feel comfortable inviting people to church. Y'all think I'm playing, man. I ain't playing. I didn't grow up in church, but when Shelly asked me to go to church, it was at a charismatic church. And then if the rule in charismatic churches is the more jiggle you got, the more jiggle you use. That was funny. So from the beginning, we wanted an unchurched, a place, a church where unchurched people would be very comfortable attending. And we wanted to kind of take away all of the excuses why people wouldn't invite them to church. And so, again, our atmosphere, like, we are over the top, and we try to be extremely welcoming and inviting to people, and we try to disarm, because the sermon starts in the parking lot. Like, people make up their idea, or they form their thoughts about a church before they've ever even heard me say a word. It's called the first 6 minutes, seize the six. The first 6 minutes of somebody pulling onto the parking lot, they've already decided whether they like the church or not. Before they even know who I am, before they've even heard how incredible our band is or how hot that singer is, who just happens to be my wife, right? Before any of that takes place, it starts out in the parking lot. And so we've been very intentional about that from the beginning. We wanted to kind of disarm people out there so that when they get in here, hopefully, again, we set up dates for them to fall in love with Jesus. And so what's cool about this is, we found this passage, this exchange in the New Testament and in the book of Acts again, where a lot of people, Paul was kind of, they called him, he was the missionary to the Gentiles. He was reaching the traditionally unreached people, people who didn't go to church, people who weren't of faith. Like, that was Paul's MO. That's what he did. And so a lot of Gentiles, as they were called, were coming to faith. And there were some questions and some curiosities and like, how do we handle these people and what do we tell them to do? Because, you know, if you're a traditional Jewish person, there were a lot of rules and a lot of, you know, guidelines that you adhere to as a traditional Jewish person. The first one being circumcision. And a lot of the Gentiles were like, nah, dog, I'm out. Right? Because you're talking about grown men. And a lot of people are thinking that if they want to follow Jesus, then they need to be circumcised. And they hadn't been circumcised. And I'm just going to tell you, that might be a deal breaker, you know? I'm 32. No, I ain't no way, right? Just trying to think how that would play out in my head. And so, at any rate, these people were trying to figure out what to do with all of these new converts and what rules they should follow and all of this stuff. And so this is really cool. James, the brother of Jesus, writes a letter to this particular group of people. And this is what he says. It's in Acts chapter 15, verses 19 and 20. He says, therefore, it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles. Let me stop right there, because, man, I think that's huge. We don't trouble those who are turning to God from the Gentiles. Because a lot of times in church, and the way that people perceive this, is they want me to get cleaned up before I even come to church. They want me to look a certain way and act a certain way before I'm ever accepted at a church. And it's just not the way it works, man. Like, because I'm not like that, and you're not like that, and people want to belong before they believe anyway. They want to know that you care about them for who they are, not because of the way that they live their life and their all of their perfections, which are non-existent, because you're not perfect either, right? And so we shouldn't trouble people who are turning to God. If they're coming to church, like, don't put all these unnecessary restrictions or you know, apply unnecessary burdens and weights to them. Let God do all of that, for whatever it's worth. And so, therefore, this is what James said, therefore it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles. But he kind of gives them three, you know, hey, at least kind of watch out for these three things. He says, but that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols. Idolatry was a pretty big issue back in the day. He's like, look, just stay away from idolatry, because obviously you don't want to put anything between you and God, and that's what an idol does. And stay away from fornication. 2,000 years later, some things don't change, right? Like, we live in a very sexually gratifying and perverse world. And so, man, just stay away from it. Stop looking at that crap. If I were James writing this, that's what I would have said. And from fornication, and the last one, and from what is strangled, and from blood, which is kind of an interesting, it's like, it seems so obvious to us, right? But don't eat stuff that's got blood all up in it. And contaminated. And so that's it, man. That's that. Our vision is very similar to that, man. We want to make it as simple as possible for people who aren't there yet, who aren't churched yet, who aren't in love with Jesus yet. Well, we don't want to add burdens to them. We don't want to trouble them. We want to make that process very, very simple for them. And for whatever reason, you know, that's not the way that a lot of people operate, but that's not really. Years ago, it was a misery. Jesus Christ, coming to church. We want you, as the 28, Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples, to help make disciples. So that's the vision, is to lead people who don't know Jesus to know Jesus through our efforts as a church. That's our story. If you have any questions, ask Daniel. He's the smartest man in the world. Let me pray for us. Father, we love you so much. God, we're so thankful, God, that this is a story that you've placed in our hearts. God, but more than that, it's a story that's just beginning. God, that you have a plan for us as a church, as a group of people who are trying our best to follow you, to live and move and have our being in you. God, I pray that we realize that the best is yet to come, God, that you are going to use us to help people to fall in love with you, to change lives, to transform lives, through your grace and through your mercy. Father, we love you. God, I'm so thankful for this group of people, and I'm honored, God, to be the pastor of Motion Church. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.